Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that it may be our rule of life, that your Holy Spirit may be our teacher, and that what we do might be for your greater glory through Jesus Christ, our Lord, your Son, our Saviour. Amen. Some years ago in my former congregation, a man in that congregation made a comment that went along the lines of, the Jews rejected Jesus and so the Lord made the church God's people instead. And certainly that's a truth that we can derive from Scripture. But I was thinking about that man who had made that comment, and I could name very few people who took the whole notion of church membership more lightly than he did. He had an attitude that said, I'm a member of the church, and that means I'm okay with God. If he was busy on a Sunday morning out on the golf course, then he had no time to come and share the banquet. He's an easy person to target because there's nothing subtle about his attitude. And yet, I become a bit uneasy when I ask the text to crawl deeper into my own attitudes and assumptions. And one of the ways that Matthew in his gospel helps me to examine my relationship with Christ is to take me to a mirror and ask, how much like a wonderful celebration, how much like a royal wedding feast is my relationship with Jesus Christ? For we have been invited to a royal celebration. There are some people who receive lots of invitations and some receive none. And if you've never been invited to anything, you think no one's interested in you. But if you receive many invitations, then the most insulting thing you can do is to forget that you've accepted the invitation and you arrange to do something else at the same time. Maybe it was only forgetfulness, but the person who sent you the invitation will take it as a personal insult. And so the best thing you can do is carefully make a note of the event, the invitation in your diary. Clear that evening of every other engagement. Get ready for the party. Put on your best clothes. Turn up with a smile on your face. That shows that you have honoured the invitation. And it honours the person who invited you. There's a funny thing that happens these days at some weddings. People who are invited turn up for the party, but they don't always turn up for the ceremony. I've seen people standing outside this and other churches while wedding ceremonies are happening inside. They want the excitement of the day, the dresses, the kilts, the cars, and the party, but they can't be bothered to join in the ceremony. There's a similar kind of thing which happens when our youth organisations come to church. There are some parents who want to see their kids all dressed up in their uniforms and parading, but they don't seem bothered enough to accept the invitation to come in, and so they sit outside on that wall out there, waiting for things to be over. It's even the same for some parents who've taken baptismal vows. Some don't bring their kids to Sunday school at all. Others bring their children to Sunday school, but they don't come into church themselves. It's absurd. It's disrespectful. Accepting an invitation and then not turning up. Well, Jesus told a story about a party, the host and its guests. It was a wedding reception, a very important wedding reception, because the host was the king himself. He'd sent out ever so many invitations to all sorts of important and grand people. And the custom in those days was to send a reminder on the actual day of the party. But in this story, those who were invited all began to make excuses. Excuses, excuses, excuses. Some of them were quite good excuses. But if they'd wanted to please the king, they'd have found a way around the obstacles that seemed to lie before them. Luke's version of this story lists some of the excuses. I've bought a field. Or we might say today, I've just moved into a new house. I've bought 5 yoke of oxen. And I have to go and examine them. Today it was something like, I've bought a nice new car and I'm taking it for a trial run. And finally, in the phrase that's so often quoted by husbands who think they're henpecked, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Though actually the Jewish law laid down very humanely that newlyweds should be allowed a whole year free of other commitments and engagements so they can get to know each other. The king in the story took these excuses as a calculated insult. So if the top people, the good and the great of the land, wouldn't come to his party, then he decided to invite the B team. And he sent invites to everyone whose addresses he knew, and most of them were honoured and came to the party. But there was still room for more. And so he sent his servants to round up those of no fixed abode, the homeless and the tramps. Go out into the highways, the hedges, compel them to come in, said the king. But what was Jesus trying to teach to us in this story? The kingdom of God's like a party, he said. Heaven's an endless celebration to which everyone is invited. And in the church here and now, we are enjoying a sort of trial run for heaven. It's supposed to be a party. No one's turned away because they're not good enough, either from the church or from heaven. Even the needy and the outcast in the story are given a welcome. The prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years before the time of Jesus Christ, said, God is a refuge for the poor. God is a refuge for the needy in their distress. God is a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. Yes, the invitation's free, but you have to be willing to accept. No excuses are accepted. Property and travel and family, all of these things are important, but nothing's more important than accepting God's invitation to join his church, to be part of his kingdom. And if you haven't committed yourself yet to making God the king of your life, then what's your excuse? All of the other things, are they really more important than the God who has made you and who loves you and who has sent his son to die for you? Or are you insulting God by turning down his invitation? Well, the parable seems quite clear to us up to this point. And then Matthew in his gospel seems to spoil it all by suggesting that, yes, there are some conditions to this invitation after all. One of the guests, we're told, didn't have the right party clothes on and he was thrown out. Now, perhaps this is part of an entirely different story that's just been lumped together and nothing to do with the first part of the story we've been reading. Perhaps not. Perhaps the party clothes were issued to the guests free of charge when they arrived at the party. After all, they wouldn't have had time to go out and make preparations about clothing. There's a story from the end of the Second World War. The Russian head of state had given an elaborate banquet to honour British Prime Minister Winston Churchill. And all of the Russians arrived in their best formal wear, their military dress uniforms, those who had them. But their honoured guest did not. Winston Churchill arrived wearing his famous zipper coveralls that he'd worn during the German Blitz in London. He thought it would provide a nostalgic touch that the Russians would appreciate. They did not. They were humiliated and insulted that their prominent guest of honour had not considered their banquet worthy of his best clothes. It was a difficult evening. The fact that we enter the kingdom by grace does not mean there are no standards. When we are invited around Jesus' table, we are invited to the banquet of the King of Kings. The banquet of bread and wine, which we shared together just last week, reminds us that Jesus gave his life for us on the cross. He doesn't expect a half-hearted response on our part. The invitation to salvation is open to all, but when we come through the door, we must put off our old clothes and put off our old ways. Jesus calls us to accept the new life in the kingdom and to live accordingly. The book of Revelation, right at the end of the Bible, says that the fine clothes are the good deeds of God's people. And so perhaps there's something we need to do to get ready for the heavenly party. The invitation's free, yes, without cost, conditions. But we have to respond to it by living a life of love and kindness to show how important it is that we have been invited by the King to his party. Jesus comes and calls each one of us to look carefully at our relationship with God. It's as if he holds a mirror up to our lifestyles. All of us have been invited into a relationship with the living God. It's a relationship which the Bible describes as a feast or a banquet. It's all about hope and joy and love and celebration. It's a relationship we would very naturally choose if we understood properly the invitation. But, and this is no small thing, this is not a take it or leave it offer. This is the Lord God of the universe calling out to us to attend the celebration. And the garment we need to wear is the garment of acceptance and humility and obedience. We accept the invitation to life. We humbly agree that God's way for our living is better than anything we can come up with. We bring our lives in line with God's desire to grow Christ-like qualities in us. In other words, we put on the wedding garment. And why would we not do that? Even this garment is a gift of God's love and grace. Many are called, but few are chosen, said Jesus. The chosen are those who look carefully at their inner lives and decide to reach out and embrace the love and the grace of God. The people in Jesus' parable have said, "Oh, nobody's going to the wedding feast. We're all too busy." Sometimes when we look over the landscape of Western culture, we might think to ourselves, people really are busy these days. They're certainly busy just now running around trying to sort out the economies of our Western countries. And it's so hard when we're busy to find time for family and friends, for husband or wife. And we wonder, is it possible that we could find ourselves among those who are too busy to attend the feast of God? Too busy for a relationship with God? I can hear people in Jesus' story today saying things like, "Oh, don't get me wrong, I love the King. I think he's a great King. I certainly appreciate the fact that the King's always there whenever I have a need. And if I just wasn't so busy, I would love to go to the wedding feast. You know how it is." And you know something? I'm afraid that sometimes I know how it is all too well. And perhaps you do too. And then I pray that God will mercifully keep me and keep us from declining a wonderful invitation to the joy of kingdom celebration. Amen. Let's worship God in song.